Good day. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take on this Feel Good Friday. I wish you guys could see, as I've taken over the studio, how many drinks I have right now on the... Can we show it, Meg? Because it's literally out of control right now. Do we have the capability to do that on the jib real quick or no? All right. Maybe not. Anyway, you'll have to wait for that. Oh, here we go.
The question is, what's in there?
Are you guys seeing, like, what's occurring right now?
Golly.
No, I'm serious. Like, I didn't even realize.
Gotta hydrate.
Yeah, there we go. We got lots of beverages happening.
Well,
okay, I'm back.
Well, it's a couple of things. Hold on. Everybody calm down. Hold on a couple of things. Number one, when we say hydrate, we're assuming that that's water and health drinks. We don't know what Molly got in those mugs. That's number one.
Molly's a consummate professional,
my boy.
And she takes care of her body like a temple.
Stop being a goody two shoes.
It might be like a green drink,
man.
Or it might be a protein shake. Get out of here.
All I know is this. It's Friday. It's Friday, my boys. My boys are here. See, I see trying to come on with this mean mug on his face. He trying to act like, yo, it's Friday. I'm not happy to be with my boys. You're with your boys.
You're so happy to be with us.
Where else you getting this? Where else you getting this on a Friday morning? We got the pivot in the house. We got Big Sexy in the house. We got Mollywood in the house.
Of course, your boy.
I mean, come on, dog. I mean, it don't get no better than this. This is how you start off Friday, dog.
It's Friday.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, man.
I'm with my boys.
I'm with my boys.
Let's get it, guys. Championship weekend. Let's do it. Patrick Mahomes.
Let's go.
Okay, let's go.
Again.
Let's go.
Showtime. He suffered a high ankle sprain versus the Jags. We'll play through the pain Sunday night in the AFC Championship game when Joe Cool and the crew strut into Arrowhead. Patrick, how you feeling?
Obviously, I feel like I can still do a lot of things, but we'll see as we get closer and closer, and we'll see during the game. I mean, I've seen the videos and everything like that of me walking. I don't know what you can really get from me walking, but I think people will see on Sunday where I'm at, and I'll see on Sunday where I'm at.
We try to make you money on the show. It's a little segment called Molly's Deal. It's coming later. So take a look at the line movement. The line for Sunday's game has been up and down all week. Kansas City opened up as 2.5-point favorites Sunday evening, and by Monday morning, the line had moved to Cincinnati being favored by a point. Tuesday, Cincy was favored by as much as 2.5 points, but now the line has come back to KC being favored by one. Swaggo. Who's going to have the better game? Patty Mahomes or Joe Burrow?
I'm going Patrick Mahomes, Molly Q. And I know Joe Burrow is playing out of his mind, but I just got to think. A 0-3 record against the Cincinnati Bengals, Patrick Mahomes, pride, coming off of an ankle injury and looking like he's going to play. And in some clips that we've seen in practice, looking like he's going to be able to at least maneuver around the pocket. I was texting the group last night from NFL Live, and I didn't realize, I had forgot that the Kansas City Chiefs were up 21-3 in the AFC Championship game. And I was like, dang, that's even more impressive by Joe Burrow and this offense that they were able to mount a comeback in the second half. I don't think that's going to be the case this week. I think Patrick Mahomes is going to come out there understanding all of this talk, understanding that he has a tremendous amount of respect for Joe Burrow and what the Cincinnati Bengals are doing. But I truly believe Patrick Mahomes feels like he is that guy and that difference maker. And now this offense, I believe, is better suited to play against this defense from the Cincinnati Bengals as well. I'm going Patty Mac because usually when he on the field with anybody, including my boy Joe Burrow, who I love a lot, I'm going 15.
I feel you, man. I can't blame you. I wouldn't mind if that happens. You know, I mean, I got a lot of love for the Kansas City Chiefs, but I'm going with Burrow for this one. I mean, I understand it's 3-0. It's hard to imagine Patrick Mahomes falling down 4 straight games to the same quarterback. I get all of that. But Joe Burrow is a different dude, and I just want to say to the American public, the blasphemy, the shamefulness that I'm dealing with. I'm on the air with two dudes from LSU. That's what I'm on the air with right now. Two dudes from LSU. So, I mean, I don't know what RC is going to say yet, But I mean, damn. I mean, all of these years, I heard about Joe Burrow when he was going against Trevor Lawrence. I heard about Joe Burrow when he was about to win. I heard about Joe Burrow in a host of other situations. Everybody been talking about that dude, Stephen A. You don't know. You don't understand. Stephen A. is a different. It's a different animal, Stephen A. Here's what it is. Well, damn it. What has he done? Won a national championship. Comes to the NFL, gets hurt his first year. Second year, he's healthy. He go to the Super Bowl. And now his third year, only his second year being healthy, he in back-to-back AFC championship games. By the way, there's another dude who contributes to the elevation of the quarterback in terms of that quarterback looking so beautiful. And that would happen to be a stud wide receiver who's that dog, that rough rider, ain't scared of nobody, elite talent, wants the spotlight, wants the big moment. I didn't even go to LSU, and look what I'm about to
preach.
Do. Yeah, see me? You see me right there? I'm about to do this, all right? Because that's what we're talking about here. This is LSU we talking about. And I'm and so Willie Gay sitting up there acting like he's non-existent. He has no knowledge about the Cincinnati Bengals offense whatsoever. And what Jamar Chase said? Jamar said simply, who is he? The linebacker. He said, I ain't worried about it. We gonna get him. You see, when you see stuff like that, you understand what I'm saying? And usually quarterbacks are trying to be conservative. They want to walk in the arena quietly. You know, they do their Wednesday press conferences. They don't talk again until after the game on Sunday. They walk into the arena. They might have a nice suit on. They might have called RC Stylist from time to time and all of that other stuff and walk into the arena looking sharp. Not Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow was like, yo, I'm a different kind of dude. Everything's about me unique. Get used to it, because here I come. This is what I'm seeing from the Cincinnati Bengals. And I think when you ask, okay, I got Travis Kelce to rely upon or Juju Smith-Schuster, well, I'm Joe Burrow, I got T. Higgins and that stud that is Jamar Chase. I don't know who's going to win. I'm just telling you right now, I think Burrow going to put on a show. I'm rolling with Burrow on this one. I'm rolling with Burrow.
Well, first of all, on behalf of the entire state of Louisiana, the LSU Tigers, myself, and Marcus Spears, Stephen A., I say you're welcome. We are accepting your appreciation for our presence on a Friday morning. We understand that whenever you're in, whenever you're a part or whenever you're around this level of greatness as it pertains to a university, you want to be a part of it. That's why you're talking about Joe Burrow. That's why you're talking about Jamar Chase, because it feels good when we accept you. The same way you went to Louisiana this weekend and they packed the house for you. We accept you, Stephen A., because we understand greatness, right? We envelop it, we develop it, and then we push it out to the rest of the world so you can all understand what it looks like. So, you're welcome. And I love my brother Marcus Spears. I love Swagoo, what he's created, what he's been able to do, how every time he comes on air, he lights it up. But he's dead wrong, because it's going to be Timothy Burrow. The same way he was running off of the field against Buffalo saying, I'm him. And then when they ask him, he said, I don't remember it. That's because it wasn't fake. That's because he didn't have to think about it to say it, because somebody might catch it on a mic. He just meant it. He just felt it. And when we talk about this Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes thing, because now it's become this huge debate, I think Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in football. I think 31 teams, if they had the option of getting Patrick Mahomes, even in their quiet moments, they'd say, yeah, we'd probably want him. Not the Cincinnati Bengals on this week. Not the Cincinnati Bengals the way that they're constructed. The reason that Patrick Mahomes can be a better quarterback or more talented than Joe Burrow, and Joe Burrow has the better day, is because he's on a better team. It's because he has T. Higgins and Jamar Chase and Tyler Boyd and Hayden Hurst and Joe Mixon in the backfield. It's because on the other side, you got Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson and Logan Wilson and B.J. Hill and D.J. Reader and Jesse Bates in the middle and Logan Wilson at the linebacker. It's because you got Lou Anarumo on the other side, who is the alien killer. My God, he's Sigourney Weaver. Josh Allen, don't matter. Patrick Mahomes last three times, don't matter. This is not going to be a UFC fight where we got to pick between Jon Jones and Daniel Cormier. Yes, they walk into the field as individuals, but they play a team sport. And right now, the best team quarterback and the best team in the sport is the Cincinnati Bengals, and they're going to show it on Sunday in the AFC Championship.
Well, in order for me to rebut, I would have to calm down because you two got me hype and I don't want to start sweating and throwing bones in the club right now. But here's what I will say, because all of those things that y'all pointed out are very poignant. But might I add that Patrick Mahomes, even in being 0-3 against Joe Burrow, is about to play in his fifth AFC championship. Patrick Mahomes has mounted leads in all of those games. And I believe you have to look at Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy more than you have to look at Patrick Mahomes. Remember, y'all, this team was going – they were on, I believe, the 10 or the 8-yard line to win that AFC championship game. And it was three straight passes that they wanted to drop back and throw. I believe this team in Kansas City is completely different. I believe they are more suited to play against the Cincinnati Bengals defense, which you mentioned. And let me say this. I am taking nothing away from what Joe Burrow and this offense has done. And we know RC, Lou Anarumo, is one of your favorite people in the NFL. You talk about him glowingly even when we're not on TV. So I got a tremendous amount of respect for those guys. I just think over the course of these losses that we've seen Kansas City have to the Cincinnati Bengals with a different type of team and a different approach to how they're going to play this game, I think they're going to come out on top, man. And it's been and let's not act like it hadn't been the ball bounced this way or the ball bounced that way in all of these games. It ain't like one team has come out and dominated in these football games between the two. Yeah. So I just look forward to seeing them play. But I'm taking Patrick Mahomes in this one, man. Okay. I think this is about to be one of those stories where we talk about, well, we didn't even know he was going to play. And then he comes out on top against a team that's 3-0 against him.
All right. Much more to come on this one in a little bit. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take pod. Have a fabulous day. But let's go to the NFC now, guys. It's the Niners versus the Eagles. Shanahan versus Sirianni, but all eyes will be on two men that have faced their fair share of adversity, and many doubted they would get to a conference championship game, Purdy versus Hurts. Now, Brock Purdy and Jalen Hurts will have a combined age of 47 years, 208 days, making it the youngest combined age between starting quarterbacks in a conference championship game. Overall, it's the fourth youngest in any playoff matchup. RC, I'll ask you this. Has Purdy shown enough to be the Niners starter next year?
Absolutely. It's zero question. I don't know what you're going to do with Trey Lance, but Brock Purdy's the starter of this team. When Jimmy Garoppolo was injured, I was on NFL Live with Laura and Dan and Marcus, and I said, your hopes, if you're Kyle Shanahan, if you're John Lynch, is that Jimmy Garoppolo actually gets healthy enough to play again before the Super Bowl. And your hopes are that you're still playing. And your wish should be that Brock Purdy's playing so well that you're going to sit Jimmy Garoppolo on the bench so you can have a competent backup. And that's exactly where we are with this team. So many times during Jimmy Garoppolo's tenure in San Francisco, the backup quarterback has not been able to produce wins the way that Jimmy Garoppolo has. Well, Brock Purdy has. Brock Purdy's also done things outside of the pocket that Jimmy Garoppolo can't do. Brock Purdy has extended plays. He's made some things happen outside of the X's and O's, along with being able to execute the game plan as it's strategized, as it's schemed. That's what you need in San Francisco. When I got Debo, when I got CMC, when I got George Kittle, when I got Brandon Ayuk, I don't need a world beater. And they have to finally say, whether it was Kyle Shanahan's decision or John Lynch's decision, we made a mistake with Trey Lance. That if we were going to go talent, that if we were going to look for the guy with the greatest potential athletically, we should have picked Justin Fields. We got the wrong one. But as life would have it, as fate and destiny would determine, and Mr. Irrelevant, we picked Brock Purdy. And as of now, he don't even know how to lose in the NFL. If this kid loses this week, it's going to be the biggest shock in his life because he doesn't know it's a possibility of taking the L. So but no matter what happens on Sunday, going into next year, Brock Purdy is the quarterback without competition.
Well, I'm
go ahead, Stephen.
A high pitch. I'm listening to the high pitch in RC's voice. I mean, just the excitement and everything else. It's not something, it's not a pivot per se that I'm accustomed to seeing him make.
Really?
But nevertheless, I mean, it is what it is. It is what it is. And we will go with that. We will go with that. Let me tell you the only caveat or the only hiccup rather that I would throw into your argument, RC, and it's only one because I pretty much agree with you. If Brock Purdy goes on that field in Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia this weekend, and dare I say he stinks up the joint, and they get blown out of the building, all bets are
okay.
off. Now, under any other circumstances you bring up, I'm with you. But if all of a sudden the NFC Championship game comes, and that's the day he looks like a third-string quarterback. That's the day we see why Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance were ahead of him on a depth chart. If we see that Sunday, then wait a minute now. Not so fast. Now, if he goes out there and balls the way that he's been balling, he's productive, he plays mistake-free football, he's not a reason that they're losing. You know, we're able to point to something else, and we're looking at Brock Purdy as a starter and saying he did his job, no doubt about it. But he cannot go on Lincoln Financial Field against Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles this Sunday and get annihilated, get destroyed, look like a third-string quarterback. And we gonna walk in the next season saying the job is definitively his. Under that circumstances, absolutely not.
Yeah. RC and Stephen A., I agree with you both. And here's the one caveat for me. And both of the points are perfect. But here's what I can't help but think about, right? If we thinking in the now, which RC alluded to, absolutely. Brock Purdy has shown you everything you need to see in order for him to be your starter going into next year. I'm just reminded that this is the San Francisco 49ers. And I was going to unequivocally say yes to this answer. But I also know that this franchise, okay, with a quarterback that had been to a Super Bowl and an NFC championship, traded away first-round picks to get a quarterback, the two that we're talking about right now. So I was thinking about this, and I was like, you know what? This is one of those questions where it's so many tentacles to what the answer can actually be. If we just looking at football through the prism of what we've seen Brock Purdy in the last seven games that he's played, how he's elevated this offense with some athleticism, in any other situation, you say, yes, this is the absolute starter, and he should be the guy going in the next year. But it's the same team that drafted a quarterback third overall with a quarterback that had been to an NFC championship and a Super Bowl. So the answer to the question is, and I know we're supposed to come on here with answers, I don't know. Because Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have not. They have not moved forward under the normal confines of play well, keep the job. They haven't done it. And when we look at, they were in the running for trying to get Tom Brady. They were in the running for trying to get Aaron Rodgers. With this organization, I'm separating Brock Purdy and his play from the San Francisco 49ers to me over the last 4 or 5 years, feeling like they always have been looking for an upgrade to the position, even in the midst of having a tremendous amount of success. So I don't know if Brock Purdy is going to be the starter. Based on football, he's earned to be the starter. But also Jimmy Garoppolo had, and they gave away the damn farm to draft another quarterback that ain't played and hadn't played much in college the year previous.
Whoa. Don't get me started with no Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know what Jimmy Garoppolo talking about. I mean, stop that. I mean, listen, first of all, we do miss talking about porn star Jimmy.
I knew it. That's what I was waiting on.
It's not an insult. It's not an insult. I mean, I'm just pointing out an appropriate name for him. That's all. But it's not an insult, okay?
It's not that man
the point
name.
That I'm trying to make. Listen, man. You can't be with a porn star Melrose, okay? And knock me for calling the porn star Jimmy. You can't do that, okay? You can't do that, all right? So let's get that out the way. Having said all of that, do y'all remember? Don't hide from the damn camera, Swaggoo. Get your behind back on camera, man. Look, all right? You cannot. You watched him during the playoffs, right? You saw him, all right, against Minnesota and those boys in the postseason. He threw for like a combined. 100 and something yards in the two games. They didn't utilize him at all. They avoided him to get to the Super Bowl against Kansas City. So I'm not giving him, I'm not bringing up porn star Jimmy and acting like, yo, oh, he was great. And come on, y'all. They didn't utilize him in the postseason. They circumvented him to get to the Super Bowl. Remember that.
But go ahead, RC.
No, I mean, I think the big thing is this, though. Whether they circumvented him or whether they won in spite of Jimmy Garoppolo, they were there. They were a post connection between Jimmy Garoppolo and Emmanuel Sanders from beating the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And then you try to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo and you draft someone else and you go to another NFC championship. Yeah. And even with that, with Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo's inserted this year, and that's what started this team into their winning ways. And so it's not about who they've tried to replace. It's about the fact that when Jimmy Garoppolo plays, this team is not only statistically better, but wins and losses better than what they are without him. And until Brock Purdy, that has been the case. That is no longer the case. And you've added an extra element of excellence at the quarterback position because he can use his legs. And so it's hard for me to say that Brock Purdy hasn't shown you everything he needs to have the position based on the current state of the team.
Let's leave it there, guys.
All right.
Marcus, you said the show's PG-13. Okay. You're hilarious. Let's get to Stephen A's team, though, guys. And we all know who that is.
PG-13. That's PG-13.
That's PG-13. It's just the word. It's in the dictionary. You can look, kids can look it up.
I'm surprised you didn't mention him in the book.
Is it in the dictionary?
Let's get to your team, Stephen A. Let's get to your Dallas Cowboys, okay? Let's do it. Wouldn't be First Take if we didn't. Let's go. For the second straight year, Dan Quinn has decided to pass up potential head coaching jobs to remain as the Dallas Cowboys defensive coordinator. Quinn interviewed with the Denver Broncos, Arizona Cardinals, and Indianapolis Colts in the past few weeks. Unfinished business here in Dallas. My complete focus is helping the team play championship ball in 2023. Quinn told that to our Ed Werder. Here's Mike McCarthy on the future of Big D.
I'm excited about the future. The players give me great confidence and excitement and energy about this championship program that we feel like we're building and have a chance to take it to the next step. As far as my relationship with Jerry, just using his word, we're in an excellent spot. The partnership that we have, he's excited about. He told me a number of times this week that he wants me to coach here as long as Coach Landry did. And I said, okay, that's a long time.
Stephen A., they're in an excellent spot. You heard McCarthy. Jerry wants him to coach there a long time. Do you feel like Mike McCarthy's getting a pass?
No, I do not. Let me be fair and not play games when I'm talking about the Dallas Cowboys for a change. I will not focus this segment on trolling that disgusting, nauseating fan base that gets on my last damn nerves. Instead, I'll simply
talk. Why you had to call him that then?
I have a message.
Because
I'm Stephen A. That's my answer. Here's the deal. By the way, RC, best-selling author, that gives me additional cachet. I'm best-selling author as well. Let's add that to the list. Here's the deal, my brother.
It only took you 24 minutes to mention it.
New York Times best-selling author. Here's the deal, y'all.
3 seconds.
Thank you so much. Here's the deal, y'all. Dan Quinn. I want to say this to Dan Quinn. Sir, you did coach championship football. That defense showed up. Dan Quinn, you did your job. You did your job. This is from Stephen A., the ultimate Dallas Cowboy critic. Dan Quinn, you did your job. Y'all did show up and play championship football. Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence, Trayvon Diggs, and the rest of the crew, all of y'all showed up. Y'all should be playing this weekend based on how y'all performed. Your offense let you down, specifically Dak Prescott.
Yep.
I ain't trying to throw shade on the brother. We just talking facts. The fact of the matter is Dak Prescott did not do his job. CeeDee Lamb did his job. CeeDee Lamb did his job. Tony Pollard was doing his job before he got hurt. Ain't your fault you broke your leg, brother. Okay? He was doing his job. But Dak Prescott, and to a lesser degree, Ezekiel Elliott, didn't do their job. Kellen Moore damn sure didn't do his job, okay? So let's be real about that. Mike McCarthy, I'm not blaming Mike McCarthy for this. They rolled up into Tampa. They did what they were supposed to do. They showed up last week, Sunday. His defense showed up. His quarterback didn't. I'm not holding Mike McCarthy that. I didn't look. Of course, I could have seen more from Kellen Moore. And, of course, Mike McCarthy is the head coach, and you have jurisdiction. I appreciate that, guys, but we know that the Dallas Cowboys situation is a bit different. We know how Jerry Jones feels about Kellen Moore. You know that Kellen Moore pretty much has carte blanche to call his plays or whatever. I'm looking at him and Dak Prescott more so than McCarthy and Quinn. I think McCarthy, don't get me wrong, if you can get Sean Payton, that's a different animal. I understand that.
Welcome.
But without being able to get Sean Payton, the bottom line is McCarthy and Quinn, I'm cool with them. They showed up. Kellen Moore and Dak Prescott did not. Period. That's where I'm at with it. Go ahead, guys.
Stephen A, we had this conversation 3 weeks ago. We had this conversation about should Mike McCarthy be on the hot seat? Or should this be a Mike McCarthy thing? And I sat here and I said, this man has won 24 games in the past two seasons. And I said all of the focus, and I've been saying this, RC knows this. I've been saying this for the last two and a half months. This team is about Kellen Moore and Dak Prescott. And I know the inner workings, and there are more things to have a discussion about when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys. But ultimately, every time we've seen this team falter, It's because Dak hasn't played well, and we've questioned Kellen Moore's ability to be creative and call plays. Last year, it was, why does Tony Pollard not touch the ball enough? This year, it was, why is Dak Prescott standing in the pocket so much and continuously to throw interceptions? Now, it's not Kellen Moore's fault that Dak Prescott is putting the ball in harm's way or throwing interceptions. It is his fault that he didn't put his foot down and say, hey, man, we got to move you off the spot and get you some easier throws. Mm-hmm. We got to come up with some creative ways in order to manufacture offense with a roster outside of CeeDee Lamb when it comes to the skill position players and Tony Pollard that we don't stack up against anybody else in the NFL. Dan Quinn has been essential to what the Dallas Cowboys' success has been. Nobody is going to argue that. The failure on this team has been Dak Prescott and Kellen Moore. And continuously, we've had this conversation about, well, can the Dallas Cowboys win a Super Bowl? RC can tell you this. I get lumped in with all of the other Dallas Cowboy fans. I get lumped in with the commentators with the Dallas Cowboys. I picked the Philadelphia Eagles to go to the Super Bowl before the damn season started because of the moves that they made and the way that they built this football team in order to have success. The one question we had coming into the preseason was, can Jalen Hurts play well enough for this team to have a chance to go to a Super Bowl or make a deep run in the playoffs? Well, we all got our answer. He about to play for an NFC championship. So beyond signing Dan Quinn and all of the conversation that we've had about the problems and the failures of Dak Prescott and Kellen Moore, now guess what has happened? The Philadelphia Eagles done passed you. They done passed you in roster. Yeah. Their quarterback was better than your quarterback this year. Their offensive plan is tremendously better than your offensive plan because of the ability of the quarterback. So it's great that Dan Quinn is back. And it's great that the Dallas Cowboys have played good defense and turned the football over. They are nowhere near where the Philadelphia Eagles are from an offensive standpoint and an offensive firepower standpoint. And if Dak Prescott doesn't have the ability to be elite and lift this team above what they actually have on the roster, we'll have the same conversation next year.
Hey, 100%. I think what is funny about Mike McCarthy saying he wants, or Jerry, and he said that he wants to coach as long as Tom Landry, or Jerry wants him there as long as Tom Landry. Jerry Jones is the one that fired Tom Landry. So he needs to remember that. And he's also fired seven other coaches throughout his tenure. So he better watch how comfortable he is with that Tom Landry talk, who coached for freaking 30 years, and nobody else is going to do that. On the other side of that, Dan Quinn should be back. Dan Quinn should be the defensive coordinator in Dallas as long as he wants to be. Dan Quinn also might be thinking he's going to be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Look at
That's
all the
exactly
movement we're seeing there with how many people have been fired on that staff. And now we're hearing from Mike McCarthy that you're going to have to evaluate Kellen Moore. And Marcus has been very honest about this offense. Even when they talk, well, they're the highest scoring offense in the league the last 2 years, but he talks about the turnovers, the lack of creativity. The Dallas Cowboys have scored 229 points off of turnovers the last 2 years. That's how you lead the league in scoring and still be incompetent on offense. That's 23% of their total offensive points come because the defense has made a play. Comes because of what Dan Quinn and his staff is doing. Kellen Moore is the offensive coordinator. The offense has regressed. The only reason they're there is because of what they do defensively. So if McCarthy ain't gonna change, and if Dak can't change, the offensive coordinator better change. You better try something else. And here is what I get from all the staff moves, Stephen A. When you make this many moves on your staff, the next thing to go is your head coach. We're saying we're giving you one more chance to revamp this whole thing and change it. And if it don't change, you will.
Yeah, the problem is that you didn't change the offensive coordinator, but you changed a whole bunch of people under those positions. That's the problem. But I hear you loud and clear. And let's give Marcus a round of applause. The honesty about the Cowboys. I know it's very, very difficult for him.
I don't need your round of applause. I don't need your round of applause. I don't need it. I don't need it. Just like I told you, I didn't need your ad-lib the other day. I don't need your round of applause.
Hey, listen. Don't be upset. Don't be upset, man. Don't be upset, man.
We don't have to be like this on Friday morning. We do not have to get sideways. It's been a very pleasant show so far. It's been pleasant. We've been agreeing on some things and disagreeing. It's been very pleasant. Don't start with me today, Stephen A.
This is what boys do to each other. It's what boys do.
All right, let's leave it there. The Cowboys have lost 7 straight divisional rounds.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. All right, fellas, let me set this one up for you. So Frank Reich, the starting quarterback for the first game in the Carolina Panthers' history in 1995, is now the team's sixth head coach. Reich agreed to a 4-year deal that is expected to be finalized Monday, a league source told ESPN. Owner David Tepper chose Reich, 61, after a search that included 9 candidates, including interim head coach Steve Wilks and former New Orleans Saints coach Sean Payton. It ultimately came down to Reich and Wilks, who went 6-6 after Matt Rhule was fired following a 1-4 start. So Wilks was the sentimental favorite of the Carolina Panthers to get that full-time job. Tepper called Wilks to inform him he was not getting the job, that according to a source who added that there currently have been no discussions about whether Wilks would be asked to stay as a member of the staff. Now, Wilks joined a discrimination lawsuit against the NFL, first filed by former Dolphins coach Brian Flores after the Cardinals fired Wilks after one season as head coach in 2018. The firm representing Wilks said in a statement Thursday, "We are shocked and disturbed that the incredible job Coach Wilks did as the interim coach, including bringing the team back into playoff contention and garnering the support of the players and fans, that he was passed over for the head coach position by David Tepper. There is a legitimate race problem in the NFL, and we can assure you that we will have more to say in the coming days." This morning, Steve Wilks tweeted the following. The sun rose this morning. And by the grace of God, so did I. I'm disappointed, but not defeated. Many people aren't built for this, but I know what it means to persevere and see it through. It was an honor for me to coach these men in the Carolina Panthers locker room as the interim head coach. Players, coaches, and staff, thank you for your dedication. I took pride in representing Charlotte, a great city that I love so much. Thank you to my family, to my friends, the community, for your overwhelming support. I do wish Frank Reich all the best. I will always be a fan of the Carolina Panthers football team. That was a classy statement right there. Stephen A., I'll start with you. Is this the right move by Wilkes in terms of how he's approaching this?
If you don't mind, Molly, I would like to hear from two former NFL players first. I want to hear what they have to say. I know what I'm going to say.
Okay, let's start with
but
Ryan.
But I definitely want to start with Swag Goo and Ryan Clark.
Let me go? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead,
Swag.
RC, you up.
Yeah, I think, first off, yeah, Steve Wilkes handled this the way that he's supposed to handle it, because how else are you going to handle it? It's not like he's going to go do something else. He's not going to go sell cars because he didn't get the head coaching job of the Carolina Panthers. I think a lot of times when you have someone who has an opportunity that Steve Wilkes has to take over a team that's underachieved, to take over in a team that has no organizational consistency, and you can do what he was able to do with some of the same players that Matt Rhule was paid $70 million to coach, you say to yourself, this is a guy that's proven in the heat of the moment, in that exact building, that he is the man for the job, but he doesn't get it. And let's juxtapose that to what's happening in Indianapolis. In Indianapolis, Jim Irsay, who watched Jeff Saturday, our former colleague, somebody I love a ton, struggle immensely as the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, only winning his first game against the Las Vegas Raiders. And it said in that building that Jim Irsay wants to hire Jeff Saturday as the coach, but there are other people who are pushing back on it, right? And so then we listen to the statement made by the law firm, and it's that there's a race problem in the NFL. There's a discrimination problem in the NFL. And to that I say, duh. This is nothing new. This is not something that we're talking about for the very first time when it comes to coaches. And we speak about it all the time, and I'm tired of the broken record of saying, look at ownership. What is ownership familiar with? Ownership is familiar with themselves. They're familiar with the people that move around in the rooms they move around in. The people in the rooms they move around in as billionaires look like them. They talk like them. They feel, they motivate, they teach like them. And so when they sit in front of people, what do they want? They want people that are like them. And they want that familiar feel, that, oh, that rah-rah, that old frat boy that I'm used to in his excitement, I can get with that. The adversities that he's faced and the things that he's gone through in life, I understand more than I understand the things that Steve Wilkes has gone through in life, because I don't know what it's like to be him. I don't know what it's like to have to come up in the ranks like him. I don't know what it's like to only get a year to prove yourself in Arizona with a quarterback at Josh Rosen, who's not even on the roster right now, who wasn't good enough in the first place, but we could get rid of you for Cliff Kingsbury, who had failed at a college and was going to be an offense coordinator somewhere else, but we'll bring him up. Because that's familiar, because it's like me. And so, whereas I'd like to say I'm surprised, I'm actually not. I was hopeful that Steve Wilkes would get the job, and clearly it looks like he got a fair chance in the interview process, but David Tepper went with somebody that was like him, which is what most of the owners do anyway. So I'm not surprised. I think that Steve Wilkes handled it the only way he could, because he still wants a job. And in order to keep a job, Brian Flores found out you better not shake or rattle the cage too much, because they'll just lock it on you. And then you got to go be an assistant for another black coach who was the only coach that would give you a chance.
RC, you said the point that I wanted to make, brother. We this is an ever-revolving conversation that we've had, and I think these coaches, these black coaches, have realized maybe the only way we find some significant change or movement in this conversation is through the law. And I don't even know if that is going to work. It's easy to for three black men right here sitting on First Take to feel defeated, but you can't stop fighting. And I think that's what these guys are reminded of every time these situations come about and they don't get hired and they get passed over. But I just want to make a point, and I'm going to move on, Stephen A., because I don't have much to say about this. I'm emotionally exhausted talking about black coaches and should they be hired and does the credentials line up, because they do. I think the biggest slap in the face, and one of them is what RC alluded to. Cliff Kingsbury got hired from Texas Tech not having a successful program. And Steve Wilks just happened to be the guy that was the predecessor to when he was signed because of familiarity. Nathaniel Hackett just led the worst offense in the NFL and got picked up as the New York Jets offensive coordinator, right? Now, it will shock me if Byron Leftwich gets a sniff at being an offensive coordinator this year. It would absolutely shock me if he was. But I don't want people to forget that he was also a part of an offensive team that won a Super Bowl. And people will lament that to Aaron Rodgers. They'll lament that to Tom Brady. And I got to give Bruce Arians credit, because I don't think Todd Bowles would have been the head coach in Tampa if Bruce Arians wouldn't have did it and facilitated the way that he facilitated it. Now, let's get to this particular situation. Let me throw this out here right now. I'm a Frank Reich fan. I think Frank Reich is a phenomenal head coach. He's done a tremendous job, went to the playoffs with Indianapolis. But I just want to give the people that always, when we have this conversation, say, well, why are you guys making it about race? And why are you guys talking about this? If they were good enough, they would be hired. Let me just give y'all an example and ask, if you were on the other side, how would you feel about this? With all of that I just said about Frank Reich got fired because his football team was bad. Steve Wilks led a team to 6-6 on the verge of making the playoff. I'm just making a point. Do whatever you want to do with it. He went 6-6 with the Carolina Panthers after they had to fire Matt Rhule, when they were not having success. Carolina was a game away from going into the playoffs, playing against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They just hired a coach that got fired for a bad year and season over the coach that almost resurrected their season and got them into the playoffs. If you need any more examples of why these black coaches and why black men like myself, RC, and Stephen A. have these platforms, and Stephen A. gives us the ability to have these platforms and say whatever the hell we want to say when it comes to First Take. If you don't understand why this conversation is near and dear to us and why it doesn't press our feelings and emotion when it comes to that, if it's not about success, if it's not about what you've done, if it's not about the position that you've put yourself in, how do you get them? How do you get these jobs? When guys who literally have been more of a failure than you have ascend and get a job that you potentially were in the running for, what is your response supposed to be? And it really boils down to what you said, RC. I just want people to understand, when Steve Wilks makes this gracious talk, when he puts this statement about his respect and accountability, it's because they've been conditioned that way. It's because they know what is eventually going to come. Now, it's sad. It's wrong. It shouldn't be a part of what this league is. But it is. And the reality is what RC said. These owners are going to hire white coaches because it's familiar to them. Because if it was on credentials, I just gave you three examples of why other candidates, even beyond black candidates, should have been hired in these positions based off what they've just done. And every time I talk to somebody about the NFL, the one thing that they say is, this league is about what have you done for me lately. What Frank Reich did for his team lately was got fired and had a terrible record. What Cliff Kingsbury did before he got there was had a terrible record at Texas Tech and should not have been a head coach. What Nathaniel Hackett did in Denver was led the worst offense in the NFL and just got hired to be the offense coordinator with the New York Jets in an opening. Go ahead, Stephen A. I just want to show people and give them examples of why we have this conversation every year.
Well, you know, the fatigue is understandable. We all feel it. But the reality of the situation is we can't get tired. The fight has to continue. Because people want to act like it's not a problem. And it is a problem. When I first saw Steve Wilkes' lawyer comment, I will confess to the both of you that my initial reaction was nervousness. Because I understand how this goes. The fact that he got a lawyer involved is going to be held against him. And the reality Absolutely. Of the situation is, how many people can Mike Tomlin hire? Because the fact is that black man who has been the standard bearer, who has been holding it down for black coaches in the NFL for the past 15 plus years, because he's been the one staple who's never had a losing record on his resume. You had people a couple of years ago that were trying to get Mike Tomlin fired. Okay? I mean, this is how bad it gets for us. And this is in the midst of a Kingsbury and others getting the jobs that they don't deserve. And so when we look at it from that perspective, the thing that we have to point to that's really alarming and illuminating is the fact that it's bad enough black coaches are getting bypassed. What's worse is qualified white coaches that you can make an argument for on their behalf are getting bypassed too. You're bringing up white dudes that are not qualified and giving them jobs over these black candidates, which makes it worse because it shows there's no criteria. When we talk about the proverbial or the figurative glass ceiling, let's understand and magnify that imagery for the public so the public gets it, even though we already know they do. What it means is that the standards keep changing. It's mobile. It's fluid. It keeps moving. They make it whatever they want to be. I was very happy if Jeff Saturday is a friend. He's on a show. We all know him. We got love for him and the whole bit. But it didn't stop us from having to come on the air and speak against his hire. It had nothing to do with him as a person. It had nothing to do with his football intellect. It had everything to do with the fact that he had no coaching credentials. And African-American candidates were bypassed. And the Rooney Rule, the spirit of the Rooney Rule, was violated just to take care of your guy. Those things don't happen for us. The owners have known this for decades. The league has known this for decades. They implemented a rule years ago, decades ago, to address this issue. They have a person they pay in excess of $40 million a year in Commissioner Roger Goodell, who literally works tirelessly with Troy Vincent and others to help implement these rules and to make sure they're followed. And still, they get violated.
Stephen A.
So what it says is that they don't care. And the reason they, the last point, here's the reason they don't care. Because the ratings ain't going to change. Because the fans are going to continue to watch the sport. And dare I say this, because the black players in the National Football League are only going to do but so much to force a difference.
Stephen A., we only have 30 seconds. This is one of the things that I've lamented many times. That's where I wanted to go, and I want to ask you. I hate to put it on the players. It shouldn't be their job. But, and again, we only have 30 seconds. But do you think the players could do anything here to really force their hand if they all banded together?
Molly, all I'm trying to say is this. Here's what I'm talking about with the players. And I said the same thing years ago with the NBA players, because we know how I feel about black coaches in the NBA. Yeah, go ahead and do your job. You ain't boycotting or refusing to show the work. Nobody's saying that. But you know what you could do with the power these players have? Yo, y'all, this is jacked up. There's only a couple of African-American coaches. There's 70 of us in here in this league that represent this league. The representation it doesn't measure up. They need to do something. You could say something is all I'm trying to say.
Okay.
You could do that.
We're really up against it, guys. If you want to revisit any points, we can after the break.